This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Baseball is back. You can watch all your baseball action at Chickie's and Pete's. Find a location near you at chickiesandpetes.com. Joining us now, the one and only Eagles Insider of the Year for 2025, Elliot Shore Parks of the Go Birds Pod. The Elliot Shore Parks call-in is brought to you by Robin Ford. Online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot at Rookie Camp. Elliot, how you doing?
What up? How you guys doing today?
ESP, what's up, brother?
Good. It was good to see football back. You know, it's like the first day of school back at the complex watching football. So life is good.
Yeah. So you know, for anybody who hasn't been there, what are they actually doing at rookie camp? Like, are there pads? Is it just drills? You know, are they playing 7-on-7? What are they doing?
So there is not pads, but they do team drills. They play football. The rest of the roster, they're still in the workout phase of OTAs. They're lifting, you know, they're doing those type of things. The rookies, the purpose of this is to basically get them ready for when the whole team is there and they are doing individual drills and when they are doing team drills, so they have an idea of what to expect. So out there at practice today, and you know, obviously the players were very different, but it looked like, you know, a practice on a Wednesday you would see during the season. They stretched, they did individual drills, and then we were kicked out. But after that, I would assume they did some team drills. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the rookies, they wanted to acclimate them to the NFL.
And is Jahad Campbell out there, you know, doing those things? Is he healthy enough to do that, or is he not?
So Jahad Campbell was at practice, but he was not participating in practice. He didn't have a helmet on. He did some light stretching at the beginning when the rest of the team was stretching. But for the most part, or for everything we saw, he was off to the side as he continues to recover from that shoulder surgery. Now, what was interesting was, you know, when they did break off into individual drills, he stood with the linebackers. He did not stand with the defensive line or the edges. So at least initially, it looks like that's where they have him.
Well, Elliot, that's not surprising to anyone but you. Are you actually ready?
Not surprising to me. Not
yeah. Wow. Are you ready to abandon that whole thing now? I'm going to give you a chance, and we'll never bring it up again.
We've been trying to give you a chance.
This is like your last chance.
No. I'm going to tell you guys exactly how this is going to play out, and you can save this audio, okay? So here's how it's going to go. He is going to start at outside linebacker with that group, like we saw today, like I've always said. But eventually, they are going to try to move him to edge once he is, A, healthy, but also once he, you know, gets acclimated. Like, they would not have drafted him in the first round if they didn't think he could play edge. So, yes, there is going to be a moment, and it sounds like, Spike, you're taking your victory lap already, when, like, he's going to play linebacker, and everybody's going to go, oh, I thought he was an edge. But a year from now, or, like, 8 weeks into the season, he will be taking snaps at edge. And if he's not taking the majority of snaps at edge, 2 years from now, then this was a pick that they will have regretted.
Yeah, so wow. That what I want to dig in here is majority
what
of snaps.
What if he's Fred Warner?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Majority of snaps. So you're saying majority of snaps. And when now is that going to happen?
I think that next, not this upcoming season, but by next season, he will be taking the majority of snaps at edges. And I think this season, it will be close to a 50-50 split.
No way.
Okay, we'll find out.
Okay, we will. And the reason
what's not up for debate is they would not have drafted him if not for the edge potential. Like, that just is a fact. So, like, we can debate where he'll play initially in the – like, they took him because of what he can do at edge, not because of what he can do at linebacker.
Well, you mean what he could potentially do at edge.
Correct, yeah, and what he could potentially do at linebacker, yeah.
Well, but he's shown what he could do at linebacker from a off-the-ball linebacker standpoint. Like,
correct.
He's done that more than rush off the edge.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
He's proven that more than he has at edge, I guess. Yes.
And just one more question on Jahai Campbell. Is there – not this is not about the linebacker thing. Is there a – have you been given or have you heard about a timeline for his health, right? So we know he had the shoulder surgery. We know he wasn't out there doing drills. Have they given you or have you heard about, hey, he should be good to go by X date?
Yeah, so I have not been given a straight update. Like, initially when they drafted him, I heard, like, he should be good for training camp. But maybe I got bad information because,
wow.
Eagles Insider of the Year candidate Ike Reese, I thought, had a good thing yesterday when he had Howie on and he talked about.
Well, we had Howie on. Ike didn't just have
right.
Howie.
Right. Eagles Insider of the Year candidate Ike Reese had Howie on the show yesterday. And I thought it was interesting. That Howie is now talking about Cooper DeJean when it comes to Jahai Campbell and kind of saying, if you look at it, Cooper didn't partake in training camp and he had a slow start to the season, but he ended up being a great player. So, my Howie meter on that was setting expectation for when he's not out there, maybe there's worry. So, again, we'll see. Like, maybe I did get bad information, but I thought that Howie answer was concerning.
Yeah, I wouldn't be overly concerned, E. Listen, you get information prior to the draft, and a lot of that stuff is certainly no one wants information out there that may indicate he won't be ready for training camp. So I'm not surprised that was sort of something that was being out there for him. But from the Eagles' standpoint, they don't necessarily have to operate under this sense of urgency to make sure he – you know what I mean? Like, they don't have to do that. They can afford to take their time – with him to make sure that when he is healthy, he stays out there. So that he can get on the field, he can be completely healthy.
So, yeah, I agree with that. Maybe I phrased it poorly. I think it's concerning if you want him out there for the start of training camp. I don't think it's concerning.
Right.
I think the way Howie's talking about it, it does not sound like they are gung-ho about the idea of him starting training camp. I agree with you that, ultimately, you've got to get him healthy and then begin his career. There's no reason to push him. But I do push back to the people that say, like, they don't need him this year. Like, the first round pick is the biggest asset they'll spend this offseason. So whether that is taking snaps at edge, whether that's playing next to Zach Bond, whether that's being out there in specialty packages where he rushes the quarterback, like, they need to get something from him this year. It would be a big disappointment if at the end of the season we're saying, Jahai Campbell essentially had, like, a gap year. Or basically wasn't able to contribute. Like, they need him to play well this year.
I'll say this. There's been first-round picks in the past that we don't necessarily get a whole lot out of. And I know there are some that didn't turn out to be very good, but then there's also the Lito Shepherds.
Nolan Smith.
Other words, the Nolan Smiths. Brandon Graham didn't play a whole lot early in his career. Like, so it's great when guys can step in and play. As a rookie and play significant snaps like a Quinyon Mitchell or even Cooper DeJean, even though Cooper missed the first four games of the season, or he wasn't a starter the first four games of the season. Ultimately, if they fulfill the potential of why you drafted them, you're going to have them for a while. Like, you don't want to ruin that by them going out there and not being 100%, and they're in this uphill battle of trying to stay healthy and get healthy. I just think that takes longer. And here's the other thing, Elliot. It's okay, man. The Eagles' success isn't predicated on Jahai Campbell. When you're as good as the Eagles are, and I'm putting the Eagles in that class with the Kansas City Chiefs, particularly over the last three years, and you're drafting late in the draft, I don't know how many number one picks the Chiefs have made in their Super Bowl run that was significant contributors immediately that first year. Because you're usually drafting the top 30 or 35th player. You're not drafting the top 10 player, top 15 player. Like, so sometimes you get a guy that, he's more for the future than he is the right now and the present. I'm not saying that's the case with Jahai Campbell. I'm just saying I'm not rushing him out there if he's not ready to go.
So they'll be okay.
They'll be okay.
Right. So I don't think the Eagles' season is going to be dictated by Jahai Campbell. Obviously, they have a lot of talent. But in an off season where they've not done a ton in free agency, like this was the chance to get a difference making player for next year. Now maybe they do just view this as, they're truly looking at 2026 and they just think they already have enough talent for 2025 that they can compete, and then you see what happens in the playoffs. But I would just be disappointing. Like, you're right, Nolan Smith, it's a good example, but Nolan Smith not giving them anything his rookie year, like, did hurt the team, right? It's not the reason they collapsed, but it didn't help that they were unable to get pressure, the defense was terrible, and their first round pick, like, wasn't on the field. So you're right, Nolan Smith turned into a great, looks like he's going to be a great player, but that the fact that it took him a year, they didn't give him a chance, like, that did hurt the team. So Jahai Campbell could be great in 2026, but I think they could very much use him being great in 2025.
Yeah.
The only other issue, not an issue, just kind of a bummer, is that you would imagine it's the first 6 weeks of the year or whatever that they don't have N'Kobe Dean. And I guess it just would have been nice to have him available for that, but it is what it is. Elliot, you didn't mention if over at rookie camp QB1 is out there spinning it, Kyle McCord. how did he look?
Well, let me tell you, he throws a nice football out there.
Oh, wow. Like to hear it. Wow.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
No, I'm kidding. It was he was the only quarterback out there. For the time we were out there, I don't think I saw him attempt a pass longer than 10 yards. I did have him perfect, right?
Well,
he did complete every pass he threw. So
they won a Super Bowl that way, Elliot.
No, here we go. So,
got him.
Yeah. I thought he looked good out there, and he will throw the ball a ton over these 2 days because he is the only rookie quarterback out there. So from what I saw, though, your YouTube big board looks like it's going to be right.
There we go.
So give us some number updates. What number is McCord wearing?
So McCord has 19 on, which
is a terrible number.
Horrible.
Bad number.
Well, he can't have six because of Devontae. He's a six man.
Yeah, I don't think Devontae's given up to Kyle
Number
McCord,
19?
Well, what if McCord offered him some money?
Yeah, I think he'd have to give him, like, his whole rookie bonus times 10. So what do you guys think of Jahai Campbell in 30?
No. Well, it's a – I mean,
not a good number.
I mean, it's not a bad number. But it sounds like it's
– Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's his old number.
Okay.
So that's the only saving grace.
Yeah.
It is his old number. But if he had never worn it before, I mean, I think that's a disaster. That's a disastrous number.
Yeah, it's not a go after the quarterback number. I can tell you that.
Honestly, and I'll say this, it doesn't help my case, but it's a linebacker number more than it's an edge number.
Oh, that's for sure.
They're trying to tell you something, Elliot.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, will you listen already? What about Mukuba?
Yeah, when he's wearing 90s next year. So he's 24. So
that's right. That's
good.
That's
a good number. Good number.
Good number. Although there is a little James Bradbury, leftover.
Also, Super Bowl MVP Larry Brown was 24. So don't forget that.
There you go.
No, he was the Sixers coach.
Good number for him.
No, it's a good number for a safety. That's a good safety number. 24.
Or
although that kind of feels like a nickel corner number.
Yeah.
Is it a safety or a nickel?
He's going to play safety. He's going to play safety. Now, that could change, like we'll see. They just brought him in there, but they're going to start him at safety, at least there. I do think the best number given out, Antoine Powell Ryland, the sixth-round edge rusher, he got 93.
Yeah, that's a good number.
That's a good number for a guy that, you know, I think will probably make the team, but he's not even guaranteed to make it. So I think 93 is a sign that they really like him.
I don't know. See, in today's age with the players, how many of them really want 90 numbers?
Yeah, 93 is like when in the 90s.
Yeah,
we're thinking edge rushers from back then.
Yeah. Most of the guys today, they like the
50-something.
Yeah, the 50-something or a single-digit number.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. Maybe I'm aging myself with that, but I think that is like a great edge rusher number.
I like that name. Say his name again.
Well, it's a hyphen, so you got to look that.
Yeah.
Antoine Powell Ryland. And he has my favorite.
Powell Ryland. Like Norman Powell.
Ryland?
Powell Ryland.
Powell.
Ryland. Yeah.
Yep.
Like
Ryland.
I don't see how I don't win the Marconi this
year. Pam? You're saying Pam?
Powell Ryland?
Pam?
Antoine Powell Ryland.
Pam?
Yeah. It's going to say we need a nickname. He's going to have to hear him and get a nickname.
Well, APR.
I'm not pronouncing that whole
name. He's APR.
APR.
It's a great nickname.
APR is a great nickname.
Yep.
APR 93.
The tongue the way ESP does, though.
And Elliot,
that's true.
Elliot, final. Well, APR is a real thing, though. APR is.
And Elliot's not?
ESP is, too.
Yeah, ESP is, too. That's what I'm saying. APR is
special. That trophy I have over here feels pretty real, I'll tell you that.
So, hold on, real quick. I noticed that they played One Last Breath at camp today. Is that a sign that Nick Sirianni listens to the station and the show?
I think it is a sign. And you also got to love they go with the deep cuts there with Creed. You know, they didn't play the big hits there. So it was
not the most popular
had it
song.
On.
Yeah.
Exactly. Had they played
no
higher.
No one's ever heard that song.
Yep.
Final, yeah. Elliot, what is everyone's favorite steal, Ty Robinson? What's his number?
I think he got 95, if I'm not mistaken.
That's a good number.
It's not bad for a D tackle. I like that number.
It's a good number. Now, can I give you one more take off of the rookie camp before you let me go here?
Sure.
So, obviously, a lot of today was the press conferences, right? And I think you can always tell somewhat right away if a rookie has it or doesn't based off that press conference.
You are a sick thing.
I think Miles Hinton is going to be a star. Like, I watched this dude talk today. The way he
Who the hell's Miles Hinton?
He's a linebacker, right?
No, he's an offensive tackle from Michigan.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, you said his name like we all know who it is.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Learn the name. You're going to be saying it a lot in a few years.
That's Chris Hinton's, son.
He's got franchise swag up on the podium there.
He does. He has franchise flag up at the podium. And I just think the best offensive linemen carry themselves with personality. He has personality. His dad played in the NFL for 13 years. I didn't, to be honest, really like the pick when they made it initially. But after meeting him today, I think he's going to be a star. So I'm in on Miles Hinton.
There he is. You get that kind of analysis with the Go Birds
pod.
Right. Go Birds Daily.
Exactly right.
You can get it in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I think I played against his dad.
Oh, really? Who's his dad?
Chris Hinton.
Okay. All right, Elliot.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend,
my,
man.
You don't want my Bryce take? No, Jack's not.
Go ahead. What do you got? What's your take on Bryce?
I think the frustrating thing with Bryce is it feels like they need him to be a better leader than he's being. People can rip Jalen for maybe not being a great leader at times, but you know who Jalen is, right? I think this Phillies team has no identity. Like, sometimes they're having fun, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're being disciplined at the plate, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're playing dancing on my own, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they wanted to win the division, sometimes they don't. Like, they got to get some type of personality here, and I think that starts with Bryce. Like, Bryce should be the leader and the person that drives who that team is. I know as a baseball player, he can't impact the game as much as other, like, star players on other teams, but he can impact the culture in the clubhouse. And it seems like this Phillies team is confused, and I think that falls on Bryce.
Well, Jalen doesn't
lead and drive the personality
of
the Eagles.
No, but you know who Jalen is, right? Like, Jalen,
yeah.
I think down at the NovaCare, like, Jalen has a big part of, like, that work hard. Like, you always hear players say what Jalen says. Like, so I agree. He's not like, let's throw a party on Friday night. But you know who he is, and he's consistent.
Oh. He's also not Mr. like, talk to everybody even.
No, but first of all, I don't know if Bryce is that. Maybe Jack would know more than me on that. But, like, it just seems like this team needs direction, and I don't think they're getting it from their best player.
Good take, Elliot.
Yep.
It's essentially what Jack said. He just doesn't like hearing it from Elliot.
No.
I don't think They are sort of a collective with the energy. And and when it's not working, I mean, I think it speaks to, Jack, when you said them about being front runners rather than winners.
Sure.
In that they, I think it's difficult to not have a couple of big-time personalities, like to not have a J-Roll. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From a personality standpoint.
Yeah.
I think Schwarber's good, but I do think they need a little bit of an ass kicker in there, and they don't get it from the manager, and they don't.
Yeah, I just wonder. I just wonder if the sports just changed so much, like about the ass kickers. I just don't know where.
Yeah, you wonder if you can do that in any of these sports nowadays. I mean, football probably more so than other sports,
but even football,
you can't say anything to anybody.
Yeah.
So that's my only concern. I mean, I agree with you in a perfect world, but then I'm trying to think of like the other top teams in the sport. Like, I don't know anyone out in the Dodgers who's an. I don't think Otani's firing everyone up. Mookie's not firing everyone up. You know, I think they're.
Freddie Freeman seems like.
But Freddie Freeman's like the nicest guy in baseball.
Right.
And then I'm thinking about the Yankees, right? Aaron Judge, he's not getting in everyone. But he commands respect. I think that that's his calling card.
So before that, it was Rizzo.
Sure.
So Rizzo was.
But he also sucked. So.
Yeah, but at the time, he was. Like, Judge sort of took his cues from Rizzo. And I think what Judge has become. I think within the locker room is because of learning it from Rizzo.
I'm trying to think about the Mets, right? Like Lindor, but I think that they also feed off Lindor's energy.
Yeah,
Lindor's always happy to be there.
Yeah.
And when they sucked the last couple of years before last year, Lindor also looked like the energy had been sapped from him.
Yeah,
but you also got to realize it's hard to do that when you aren't playing well.
One of the callers brought
that
up.
Hard to do that when you're not playing well.
I think that is a tough thing with him hitting .230.
Yeah.
You know, I think the thing that he could say, and I'm not, you know, whatever, anybody could say anything, is one of the things they've suffered from, him, you know, last night as well, is an absent fundamental baseball thing. And what he could say is we, as a collective, are not hitting the way we want to hit. We're not pitching the way we want to pitch. But what we can do is play the way that the game is supposed to be played, with our heads in the game.
Yeah.
And that is one thing he could say, I think, as a non-performer. Now, who knows if they're saying it or not saying it. But this isn't something new. You know, we were talking about it last year, about there just not being a voice, you know, to the flip over the table voice, the call the team meeting. But they basically had to be goaded by the fans into calling a team meeting last year.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
It wasn't until they got booed that they call a team meeting.
And there's certainly heightened intensity, I think, from the fan base this year with the team. And, like, they're hearing it way more.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, maybe they're feeling in the clubhouse. But, yeah, I don't know. Rojas is out of the game today, so they put Stevenson in there. Maybe he's getting benched. Maybe they're benching people now for
Joe
for
from the Northeast is happy. Well, that was – I know he was safe, but that in the ninth inning, for third base, down two, it's insane.
It was ridiculous.
And then, by the way, when the replay came in and said he was safe, he sort of looked. He was like, yeah, I knew it.
Had it the whole way?
Yeah.
Even though his hand might have slipped off.
Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Are you frustrated with Bryce Harper? Coming up next, a guy that will never frustrate you, Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast.
That's right.
Everybody loves it. We're Chickies of Peace in South Philly. Big events, big games, always better at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.